are at Revelation, the revelation of Jesus Christ. I want to read just one verse. Stand with me. Chapter 1, verse 3. And then I'm going to try. This will be almost impossible. I'm going to try to just read the two chapters. These are the words of the Master. These are the words of Jesus. In my Bible, they're in red. But they're every bit the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. What greater thing could we do than hear a sermon from the Master's lips? For he never faltered in one word, amen. But I think that this is a great springboard verse in chapter 1 of the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's not revelations, it's one revelation. The revealing of Christ, the revelation. So verse 3, let's read it together, please. Just verse 3 of chapter 1. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Our Father, there is a promise in this wonderful verse at the beginning of the revelation that says there's a blessing in hearing, in reading, in hearing, and obeying this prophecy. And so, Lord, as we hear it read, as I read it, may it move me. May we pick out certain things, Lord, to apply to our own heart and our own life from these seven churches in Asia Minor. And, Lord, I don't know what church, dear Lord, the one across town or the one here, I don't know where we are. We probably have bits and pieces of every one of these seven churches. And yet I believe there's a need for myself to read this and try to apply it to my own life, for I need so much help from thee. And we pray that the others would do the same and not be pointing to someone else, our Father, and saying, boy, they sure need that one. But Lord, may we in love and grace say, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? What wilt thou have me to get right? Or do I need to repent? Or do I need to remember? Or what do I need? And Lord, that we would get some benefit. We're going to try not to spend a great deal of time with the application. So may the Holy Spirit of God give great understanding and revelation. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Please remain standing for just a moment. Turn with me. This is another one that I noticed is in all seven of the churches. Turn to chapter 2. Chapter 2 of the revelation of Jesus Christ. Verse 7, just the first part. Just down to the colon. Let's read this together. It's the same in every one of the seven churches. I never noticed this before. Or I forgot about it, and it's been brought back to me, one or the other. The same words are for all seven of the churches. So I believe it would be applicable for us to all apply it, realizing that if this is for all seven churches, then we ought to take heed expressly of this first part of verse 7 of chapter 2. So let's read this together, just this first part. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. You may be seated. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the... Did you notice it's capitalized there? The Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, saith unto the churches. We should give our ear and listen. Now we'll start at chapter 2, verse 1. Unto the angel of the church at Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works. In all seven churches, the Lord Jesus says, I know thy works. Just like he says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And in every one of them as well in verse 7, look at verse 7, to him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life. Every one of the seven churches talks about being an overcomer. So the admonition is here to give our ear And by the way, in five of the churches, it says to repent. And in some of them, it says to remember. In many of the churches, it tells, be looking for these things as we read. It tells the good things about the churches. Well, the Church of Jesus Christ ought to have some good things in it. Amen? We're redeemed by the blood. Our sins are gone. There ought to be something good in our churches. If they're God's churches, Christ's churches. His church is his body. Amen? He's the head and we're the body. He's the bridegroom and we're the bride. Why? He's made us accepted in the beloved. So we ought to see good things. Look for the good things now. And then he tells some bad things. So there's some bad things in his bride as well, or his church. There's things we need to repent of and get right so that we can be a better bride for our bridegroom. We can be more useful in our activities in the church. By the way, the church, we say we're going out to the church. That's the church building. We are the church. God dwelleth not in temples made with hands. He dwells in our temple. Amen. Our body is the temple now. So just take note of those things and we'll go along as we go now here. I know thy works and thy labor. Here you go. Here's some good things. And thy patience and how thou canst not bear them that are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and has found them liars. They even had a trial there in this church. And has borne, and has patience. There's patience again. This seems like this first church, it says twice about their patience. They had patience. And for my name's sake has labored. Boy, they're working. They're a working crowd too. Says it twice or three times here. And has not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. Not lost. We don't lose Christ, but we can leave him and leave the place of blessing. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works. Or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Wow, twice the Lord says it. In one short verse. But this thou hast, that thou hatest. Boy, this is, here's another good thing, though. He's not just chastening them all. Amen. He's got some good to say about his church. Thank the Lord for that. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans. They say that that's the trying to have such a great episcopate and lording it over God's heritage instead of realizing that we're all on even ground. We're put in different positions, but we need to be very cautious lest we vaunt ourselves above the people. That's not biblical. We are shepherds, those that are put in that place. Which I also hate, Jesus said. He hated this doctrine. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. And unto the angel of the church of Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works. Here it is again. I know thy works. By the way, if you notice throughout these different churches, he's referring back to the first chapter, which is the picture of the Lord Jesus Christ in his glorified state. Talks about his feet and all his hair and everything else. He's going back to that over and over again as he's giving this address to his seven churches there in Asia Minor. And these were actual churches, not hypothetical. They were real churches. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. You say, what does that mean? I really don't know what it means. I've read that so many times, and I really don't even know what it means. By the way, there's going to be a lot we'll learn when we get into heaven, and then we won't even want to know it because we'll know even as we're known.
So the secret things belong unto the Lord. If you can find out what that means, I'd be more than happy to, you know, to see what you think it means. But you better have a humble enough spirit to realize that when you go into the prophecy, if the great Matthew Henry said that this is deep water where you are just about going under, this or the Old Testament prophets, you better, if the great Mr. Henry says that, you better feel a little bit like that too. I get appalled at these men who come in and they act like they know every little bit of every little thing in the book of the Revelation. I think that's foolishness, because they differ with their brother. And they, by the way, they could both be wrong, but they both can't be right. Hello? If they differ with each other. So we ought to give God the benefit of the doubt and say, Lord, I don't know. There's a great debate about the book of Hebrews. Who wrote the book of Hebrews? Well, all the other ones says Paul, an apostle. Now, we know God wrote the epistles of Paul. Amen? But in Hebrews, it says God, who at sundry times. I want you to know, no problem about it all. God wrote, you know, God wrote the book of Hebrews. Amen? Somebody, they probably break fellowship with their brother over something like that. That's foolishness. Maybe it was Apollos. They say that the writing there seems to be even more eloquent or a different form than Paul's writings. I don't know, but it's the Word of God, and that's enough for me. All right. 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Thank God. We'll die once, but we're not going to die twice. And if the Lord comes back, we're not going to die at all if it's in our day. We'll go up to be with Him. Will you ever be with the Lord? We're not going to have to, if we're saved, we don't have any part of the second death. That's for the unbelievers. They'll be dying forever. We'll be living forever. Amen. Now, they'll be very much alive even though they're dying forever. I don't understand that either, do you? They'll be in a fire and they'll be in hell in a fire and yet never be consumed. You say, well, I can't believe that because I can't understand that. I can't understand God, but He made me. How could I understand Him fully? Verse 12. To the angel of the church of Pergamos write, these things saith he which hath the sharp sword in with two edges. That's in the first chapter again. I know thy works and where thou dwellest, where Satan's seat is. And thou holdest fast my name and hast not denied my faith. You see the good things here. Even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr. He was killed for Christ. Who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. Well, where the devil is really reigning and ruling, you're going to have more people martyred. Hello? Oh, yes. You'll have more people martyred where the satanic worship is going on. But I have a few things against thee. Here it is again. He's saying all these good things. But what? Because thou hast there them which hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Boy, in both of these churches, two of the three churches, he says, I hate those things. And this is Jesus speaking now. Christ hates some things. So if you're like Jesus, you're going to hate some things. Amen? Come on, smile tonight. This is the message. Jesus gave us this message. We're just reading his message. He can give a better message than Pastor Harvey could ever doctor one up. Amen? He can give one through me. But this is actually his message. Right here to seven churches. Which thing I hate? Repent! Seems like Jesus is a repentance preacher. And it's not just for the lost to repent. It's for what? The saved to repent. He's talking to the saved people, to his bride, to his church. Repent or else I will come unto thee quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. Well, there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. It's a song we sing. Maybe they got it from these verses. Now to the next church. And unto the angel of the church of Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, that's Jesus, who hath his eyes, here's the first chapter again. You have to go back and see this. Who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works. By the way, he knows our works. He sees everything. It's awesome to think that he knows our works. He knows he doesn't even just know our works. He knows our intent of why we're working, whether we're trying to seek the praise of men or the praise of God. I know thy works. And look at this is good. And charity, love, divine love, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess. She's acting like she's a female preacher. Or one who's foretelling things in the future, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication. Is that physical or spiritual? I don't know. Either one's wicked, spiritual fornication or physical fornication. It's wicked. By the way, many times in the Old Testament, it says that the Israel went a-whoring from God. They went out from under his protection. And they committed spiritual fornication with idols. And instead of kissing the sun, they were kissing Baal. That's spiritual fornication. And God hates it. And to eat things sacrificed unto idols. There you go right there. I think this is probably, by the way, sometimes in Corinth, they said that they had female prostitutes there with this extremely short hair business over there as well. Many of the commentators say that in Corinth. So keep your hair long, girls. You don't want to be identified with that crowd at all. Amen? Well, you're also enthusiastic. I'll say it 10 more times. Amen? The men have the short hair. The women have the long hair. And when the men get the long hair, they look like a bunch of sissies. And it's an abomination to God. But it's also an abomination to God when the women's hair gets too short. I feel like camping out here a while. It's awful in our stores today. And it better not get into our churches. Awful. Make sure that your identification is proper. I don't care how old you are. I don't care what they said at the university to my wife. She's my wife and not theirs. They said as the women get older, they should have their hair shorter. Book, chapter, and verse, please. Amen. I'm going to believe the book, preach it whether people like it or don't like it. So you young men, when you get married, you make sure your wife's hair stays long because you're in charge. Amen? Boy, I feel like I'm almost getting mean here. The way these women have those so short hair, I'm telling you, it embarrasses me. It embarrasses me. I want to just go up and say, and I've said it to a few of them, you need some hair. I've said to him recently, you need some clothes on and get your belly covered up. I said to a woman right over there in what do you call it? right over in Scott and White Hospital. She was in a suit, and she had a dress this short. I went up to her, and nicely, there were people all around. I said, it's a shame that you're dressed like you're dressed. I said, it's very immodest the way you're dressed. It's a shame. And then I walked away. I hope she felt bad the next day when she put the mess on, and she should have gone home and get some clothes on. Say, oh yeah, I wouldn't do that. No. Nobody's saying anything. And how bad can it get before somebody wakes up around here? They're coming in. We had a lady not 6 months ago. She came in expecting a baby, and she had a big bare belly. I don't want that in this church anymore. You women, go get her something. Wrap her up with something. I don't care if she is embarrassed. She's not coming in this church anymore. I'll go up to her myself if you won't, ladies. Get you some cloths. This dear, precious black lady who's, she's a pastor's wife over there at the VA hospital when I went there. I got to go to the doctor tomorrow too. Pray for my treatments. Anyhow, and so this dear lady, she said, I go out and get some beautiful napkins, all different colors to match their clothes. And the young ladies, they come there and they have their knees all uncovered. And she says, I go right up to them. She's the pastor's wife. And she said, you put this over your knees. This is embarrassing the way you are. You need more clothes on. And I'll pick it up later. She said they all bring them back to her because she's going to need them the next week too, probably. She says, I don't care if I embarrass them. They ought to be embarrassed to be like that in the house of God. My husband's up there preaching to them, and they're looking like that. She said, it's terrible. He should be able to think about his message and the Word of God, not a bunch of strange flesh all over the place. She told one lady, she said, you move back three pews and sit right where I put you. And here's your cloth. You're not sitting there in front of my husband. Amen. Boy, that lady, she said, even my husband thinks I'm a little too blunt. I said, give it to him, lady. Amen. We're going to start that in our church. Amen. Why should we let these ill-clad girls that don't know any better? Now, you can do it in a nice way. You don't have to be nasty. You go up to them kindly. Amen. Like it'd be your sister or your mother. Amen. Hello. Or your aunt. Aunt. I don't know how it's supposed to be said. I'm from New York, Buffalo. But be nice to them. We're not here to be in church, but we're to be modest in the house of God. If we're not modest here, what in the world's left? My. You say, well, they're just dressing like what they see on TV. Then tell them to quit looking at TV. Dress right. All right. Boy, if I'm not careful, I'll get all wound up here. But that which ye have already... Verse 25, hold fast till I come. Oh, I'm jumping ahead too far, okay? Idols. Verse number 21, I believe it is. I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into the bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he that searcheth the reins and hearts. And I will give unto every one of you according to your works. But unto you, I say, and unto the rest of Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan, as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden, but that which ye have already, hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of the potter shall they be broken to shivers. It's a shame, Brother Mike, that they're so modest over there. Or are they still, I hope? They haven't taken on American ways completely, have they yet? Isn't it a shame they're more modest than we are in America? And they have the wrong God? They have the wrong Bible? They have the wrong everything. Their prophet's wrong. Everything about Islam is wrong. They hate and we love. And God is love. God is not hate. God can get angry and he hates some things, but God is not hate. Oh no. And they dress better than we do. The females. You say they're not treated right. I know they're not treated right, but at least, you know, you don't have as much trouble. When the fellows came back from the first war, I said, "Did you have any trouble with lust?" And one fellow said, John Hendricks said, "How can you lust on a tent?" That's what he said. He said, "How can you lust on a tent?" He said, "All you saw was her eyes." That's modest, friend. That's modest. And yet they have the wrong God. May we learn to please God, not please men. Shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father, and I will give them the morning star. You know, that's another thing, Brother Mike, that you brought up was very good in your testimony. I was thankful that Pastor Hammonds asked you to give a testimony. You know, they're so happy in their poverty, and we have everything, and we're in a mess, aren't we? Be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I was reading in Psalm or Proverbs this afternoon, and it spoke about how the dangers of covetousness. Achan coveted, but he paid. Judas coveted, but he paid. And you covet, and you will pay. Thou shalt not covet. If I covet, I will pay. We're not to want what other people have. We're to want what God has given us and thank him for it. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And then before that, I will give him, the overcomer speaks here, I will give him the morning star, verse 28. I don't know what all that means to you. Isn't this pretty deep? For these fellows, as I said, I know I'm repeating myself. These fellows that act like they know everything about what I just read, I don't know. I think they got a big head. I don't understand all those things. I think you maybe. By the way, when I first got saved, I read the book of the Revelation every day. I wanted to know everything about the Revelation and the second coming of Christ, and I was just about crazy about it. And I guess it did me some good, but you know what I mean? But I thought I was understanding. I mean, you know what I thought? Oh, I'm going to see something that nobody ever seen before in my infancy. And then later on, I read it in a book, and I said, oh, my, nothing new under the sun, is there? I wrote my little tongues track, and then I read John R. Rice, and I found out that he got a little light, too. Well, the same Holy Spirit will give some light, amen, to not just you. Chapter 3, and unto the angel of the church at Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, there it is again, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which I have not defiled their garments. See the good, he goes back with the good and the bad. And they shall walk with me in white. Praise God. We'll walk with him in white one day, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed with white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To the church, to the angel of the church of Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, Boy, our Jesus is holy, is he not? And he even says of his ministers, that's a required thing of a bishop. H-O-L-Y. We're to be like our master. We are to be holy men of God. That's a requirement. By the way, all those musts, a bishop then must be, all those things he must be. Amen? Not just a few of them. He must be the husband of one wife. He must be blameless. He must be holy. He that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the keys of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews. See, we need to be very careful of our speech, and people might come in saying, I'm a Christian, or I'm a born-again Christian, but see, they said they were Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. Isn't that wonderful that the Lord loves us? And this is Jesus speaking. Jesus loves us. We're his bride. We're his sheep of his pasture. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. He that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God. Aren't you glad we're going to have his name written on us? Listen, don't be so fretful and worried about all this mark of the beast and the name or the number of the devil. Praise God. We're going to have his name. It says right in the Revelation. He's got, what, a white stone with our name in it. Amen? And then he's going to what? He's going to put it, the name upon us, in our foreheads. It's in the Revelation, other places. Some people get so distressed about the mark of the beast. What about the mark of the Savior? That's all I care about. And I'll never have the mark of the beast. I'm saved by his grace. We're not saved till we sin. We're saved forever, praise God. I don't believe in this part-time salvation. No, I've got full-time salvation. Amen? He saved me to keep me forever. I'll be there by his grace. Thank God. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God. That's going to be written on us too. Glory. Which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down from heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. Praise God, we're going to have his name written on us. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches, and unto the angel, the last church here now, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen. You get that from the first chapter of Revelation 2. He's called the Amen. The faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. By the way, the Jehovah's Witnesses get that all messed up because he's the first of the creation of God. And they say he was created. Jesus was not created. He's the Creator. That's a change on words. When that's mentioned in Colossians, and they say, well, Jesus was created. He was the first created being. No, he is not created. He is God, and he always was, and he in all things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made, and that's Christ. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth, because thou sayest, I am rich. Here's the speech again. We have to mind our mouth. Thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked.
Here's what he gives counsel. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and what? Repent. Five churches. The admonition from the lips of the Master is repent. We are never going to be the right kind of Christians and maintain being a right kind of Christian unless we learn to repent. That goes for you too, Pastor Harvey. You better learn to repent. And you better not forget it all your days. Doesn't matter how much Bible we've read. Amen. It ought to make us more like Jesus, but it doesn't. It's no solution that we're going to have victory tomorrow. Just because we had victory yesterday, we've got to stay by day, our day by day prayer, our day by day in the Bible, our day by day witnessing. I think sometimes we get to a place and we've been saved so long that we think that we can make it on our own. Just because of the way God used us before. Well, you need to go to Ezekiel 3 and Ezekiel 33 about that. All the good you've done will not be remembered if you turn away from Christ. You'll still go to heaven, but you'll be a sorry, you'll be in bad shape. You lose your testimony. I warn you tonight. I warn you. You better stay with your wife. I warn you, women, you better stay with your husband. Or all the good you've ever done will never be remembered. They'll forget every bit of it. Go off into Jehovah's Witness mess, or Mormonism, or Islam, or some other schism or something. And all the good you've ever done for my lovely Lord will be forgotten. Believers do get mixed up sometimes. Just end up, like I said on Sunday, end up a Seventh-day Adventist or a Seventh-day Baptist or something, and you can lose everything you had before of all the good you did, because they won't remember any of that, amen? They'll just say, look, he's with another woman now. And he left his wife and family. Come on, amen? You better listen to me. You young women, you better get the right fella. You better get a guy, you better check him out real good and let your mother check him out real good and your father check him out extra good. And check his past out. Amen? You fathers ought to ask them about their morals. They've been with every girl in town. Amen? Before you turn your precious girl over to some guy that's been with everybody in town. Or vice versa, sad to say today. I say very sad to some boy that ends up with a whore as a wife. Amen? They're out there. They're out there. You don't keep a close tab on yours, they may end up being married to some Wiccan or something. Some wicked Wiccan. Some witch. She come in there and put a spell on you and your boy. Amen. If you have any trouble with that, bring them to my wife and I. We'll check them out. We've already had five go out, amen. You better check them out before they get married. They can't look you in the eye when you ask them questions. There's something wrong with that young man. Amen? He's got a terrible past. And all that junk will come back into his brain when he's with your girl, your young daughter. Amen, Brother Williams? He's smiling and saying amen. And they better. They better. Amen? They better listen to the old man, the old preacher. Not let the kids go up and say, go on up, old Baldy. Go on up, old Baldy. You're balder than I am, aren't you, brother? Amen. And they better not mock you either. You're as saved as I am. Amen. But you're going to have to have wisdom.
about your children. So many people hide their sins. Because why? They do them in the dark and they keep them in the dark. Just this last week, just yesterday, we were going to get a man to come down. He was recommended by one of our missionaries. And I got all excited about him coming down. He was candidating a church. And he brought it up to me. He says, I hope you don't have any problem with this, so I guess I could bring it up to you all. He said, you know, it says in Timothy, you know, about the requirements of a bishop. He says, I have a wife and I have seven children. But I did have another child out of wedlock before I got saved. Well, I said, well, brother, I was getting ready to line up and find out if a prophet's chamber down there so he could do the church and everything. Hello, come on now. Smile at me. This is what your pastor has to go through all the time. Because the church he's in, a sister church, shame on him. The pastor, if he's ordained, he should have never been ordained if the pastor knew that. He's not blameless. I called the dear brother back. I said, I love you, brother. Don't even know you, but I love you in the Lord. But I said, I have a word in the Bible, and it's called blameless. And I said, that won't work out. Can you imagine this brother getting down there and letting the new church people know that he has eight children instead of seven children? He said that the church he candidated, they didn't make any big deal about it, but they didn't take him either, did they? Is that a blameless? Would you say that's blameless? I see some people nodding their head. Do you want him to be your pastor? What example is that to your teenagers? How many think that would not be good for him to be the pastor of our new mission church? I'd like to see your hand. We've got to be careful. We don't ordain men into the ministry until we've checked them out thoroughly, because a lot of times they try to hide all that stuff. And then some other dear pastor down the road has to handle it like I did. I mean, that just made my day yesterday. Am I going to be able to trust the church that I talked to the pastor? I'm saying, can I trust the church and the pastor of that church like I'd like to in the future? If he's allowing a brother with their sanction to go down there and he preaches them all the time, all over the place, around there, and now the pastor told me he was going down there to candidate a church, and he knew this? Oh, I think I need your prayers, Brother Williams. Amen, because I love everybody. I love that brother. But he's not blameless. And I can't make him blameless. And all the love you have, Brother Williams, and I have for that brother, we can never make him blameless, because he's not blameless. Amen? Hello? I don't know how that got in the message, but I'm almost through. It's not easy, is it? When you love everybody and you have to say no, that will not work. Will not work. I say this kindly, not nasty. Why did he bring some other sins up in his life? If that wasn't a problem, why did he bring this up to me? After I got off the phone, I thought, because he's not blameless. Too many people. Now, is he forgiven? Yes. Can he serve God? Yes. Can he work in the church? Yes. Can he help out in every capacity, soul winning, everything else? Yes. The only problem, he's got to handle. And what, is he giving child support? Is the lady going to come in and say, what kind of a preacher is this? You know? Or the daughter or the son, whatever it is, comes to the church and say, I'm the pastor's daughter, or I'm the pastor's son. Do you think that might be confusing, dear brethren? It's not easy to be tough, is it? We're trying to get tougher. Amen? Can't be too holy. And none of us are sinless, except the Christ that lives in us is sinless. By the way, this is beyond me too. You know, the Christ in that brother, if he's saved, that Christ in him is just as sinless as the Christ in me. Amen? The only problem is, he did something that's evident, and it's open to everybody. And it's a shame. Okay, I need to go on. I need to finish quickly. I thought I was even going to quit at 8. That never happens very often around here. Look at this. Isn't this good? As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Aren't you glad the Lord loves us and that he does chasten us? Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. This is glorious. The Father's in the throne. The Son is in the throne. And glory be to God, we're in the throne too. It's all by grace. It's all by grace. We don't deserve to be in the throne with him. But we're his bride. Amen? We're his. We're clean because he is clean. Not because we're clean. We're clean because he is clean. We're accepted because he is accepted. We're forgiven because he is the forgiver. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Our Father and our God, we thank thee for the word. Thy word is truth. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Lord, bless these words from the lips of the Master, penned down in this book of the Revelation for the seven churches and for us. For us, for all scriptures given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Lord, help us to learn and get something good from this tonight. Lord, we're so thankful that there's some good that you see in us. And yet, Lord, we are all rebuked. For there's something wrong that was seemingly, I believe, every church, even the Philadelphian church. Lord, there were things wrong in that church as well. But our Father, surely all the others were really rebuked. Though they had patience and charity and good works and labor of love and hated evil and hated bad things, yet, Lord, they had needs, and so we all do. Please help us. And for anybody that might be in here without Jesus and not born again, we pray for them. Help us, help them to come to Christ and be saved.